Amen. That was a beautiful song. Amen. Amen. What God has done. That is beautiful. Thank you so much, ladies, for singing that for us. Well, thank you so much for being here, church. I appreciate you guys. And thank you, Pastor, for having us be here. And I still believe that God is still doing great things. Amen. And thank you so much for being here and, of course, letting God do a great work in your life. And thank you, church, for being so kind, for inviting us. And, Pastor, thank you once again for the invitation. Appreciate that. And there's one thing I can say to you, church, is this. Stay faithful to the Lord. Keep serving. Be in your place. Be in your place. It is never a waste of time when you spend time in God's Word. And so Mark chapter number 10, I know you're there. We find in this chapter, in verse number 32, that Jesus and his disciples were on the way to Jerusalem. And by the way, before I get started, I just want to let you guys know a little bit about something. First of all, I'm sorry to mention, but my family is here with us, and they've been a great help to me and to my just how good they are to me, and I appreciate my family being here, and my mom and my mother-in-law's here as well, and of course my sister and her two kids. I appreciate that. I have my own little cheerleading section over here, so I appreciate that. Thank you. But before I continue, I just want to let you guys know a little bit about myself. My name is Sotia. I was born in California, raised in Long Beach, LA area, and went to First Baptist Church of Long Beach, California, where Pastor John Wilkerson was my pastor there at that time. And I went to West Coast. I know that a lot of people that I've heard, a lot of people, you know, they brag whenever they go to college that, you know, they, oh man, you know, I finished, you know, 4 years of college in 3 years. Oh man, they just crammed everything in. I'm like, man, that's awesome. I can do one better. I crammed 4 years into five. Amen? 4 years into five. Boy, that was, took some talent to do that right there. So, finished college and met my wife at college. And then Pastor Cooley at Liberty invited us to go and be the teacher there at Liberty Baptist Academy. I taught there for 12 years. And during those 12 years, the Lord allowed myself and the Welker family to start a church at Marin County, Marin County Baptist Church. And believe it or not, this is amazing how the Lord works and how fast time has flown. That next week, we're going to be celebrating our 10th anniversary of that church. So continue to pray for us as we continue to serve the Lord. But just recently, about 3 weeks ago, the Lord has called my wife, me and my wife and our family, to down south to Bible Baptist Church in Pembroke Pine. And so I've been there for about 3 weeks working with Pastor Dane Keeley, and he's been a blessing. He's been a huge help to me and my family. And so that's where we're at right now. And so the Lord has working, and I can tell you what, I can look back and see that God's hand was on our lives the whole time. And so stay faithful, keep serving, and keep being tender to the Holy Spirit, and be in your place, and the Lord is going to take you places that, man, you can't even imagine. And so the Lord is good, amen? Amen. But again, we find in chapter number 10 in Mark, I know we already read those verses there, but Jesus and his disciples were on their way to Jerusalem. And by the way, church family, they're not on their way to Jerusalem to go sightseeing. They're not on their way to Jerusalem to get away. They're not on their on the way to Jerusalem to take a vacation. And by the way, Jesus, he is on his way to Jerusalem to be crucified. And he is going there willingly. He's already decided that he's going to the cross. As a matter of fact, this is also the chapter that we find the rich young ruler who claims that he wants to follow Jesus, that he wants to do what God wants him to do, but he's not willing to give up his riches and trust Jesus and Jesus alone. Jesus mentions to his disciple in the next text that he came to be a servant. He came not to be ministered unto, but he came to minister unto people. He was a servant who sacrificed his life for the sufficient payment for all mankind. And kind of remind you, church family, that that right there is the greatest man that ever walked on the face of earth. And he's not just a man who came waiting for people, but he was a man who came serving people. Might that be an example for us as we're living in 2025, that if serving was not too low for Jesus, it shouldn't be too low for us? We ought to have a serving spirit. We ought to have a serving mentality. We ought to want to serve. And in verse number 46, the Bible tells us that they came to Jericho. A little bit about Jericho. Jericho was a great city of history, 5 miles west of Jordan, 7 miles northwest of the Dead Sea. You see, Jericho was a great city of population. Jericho was a city that was very well known. People loved to go there. It was a great history behind it. And here, the Lord Jesus Christ, accompanied by those that came with him, and the Bible says they came to Jericho, and there was, of course, there was a number of people there, a great multitude were following Jesus there. But among the crowd in Jericho, a man who goes by the name of Bartimaeus is mentioned. You see, church family, Bartimaeus is one of those few people in the Bible that Jesus healed and actually named for us. We find Lazarus in John chapter number 11 was named by the Lord Jesus, and Malchus in John chapter number 18 was a servant of the high priest who came to arrest Jesus. But Peter, of course, chopped off his ear, and Jesus took the ears and placed it back in Malchus' body. But normally when Jesus healed somebody, the name was really not a concern, not a big deal, but the fact that what Jesus did for that person was a message that we can learn from. But at this time, the Lord chose to name Bartimaeus for us, and I love this story, and I find this story quite interesting. As a matter of fact, when Brother Kevin texted me a couple of days ago and asked me if I can come and preach for you guys, I was tossing around trying to see what message the Lord was trying to have me to preach, and I had a couple messages in mind. And at first, the Lord was leading me to preach and teach a lesson about Daniel. But then I heard that Pastor preached on that this morning, so I didn't want to steal his message and just re-preach that. I didn't want to do that. And so the Lord has brought me to this message, and I thank the Lord for it. And I love this story. And here is blind Bartimaeus there on the side of the road. People are walking. People are busy doing their own things. And there he is, just there, sitting down, blind and lost. There is really nothing that he can do, no one to turn to, and no other option for him. But there on the right side of that road there, amazingly so, the timing of the Lord Jesus Christ showed up at his time. And those of you who have been saved for a number of period of time, we are familiar with the fact that Jesus has this thing about being on time. The songwriter have said, he might not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. Jesus, he is an on-time God. And here is Bartimaeus right about the time where he needed a breakthrough. Bartimaeus right about the time where he needed someone to show up. Bartimaeus right about the time where he needed some healing. Right about the time where he needed some hope, where he needed some miracle. And here is Jesus showing up at that time of Bartimaeus. Now, the amazing part about this story is that I see is that Jesus is coming around, and Bartimaeus, he's doing everything that he could, everything that he can possibly do to get to Jesus. He says, man, I'm going to make sure I get to see him. I'm going to make sure that I'm going to see him and meet him. I'm going to do whatever it takes to have this experience with him, and there is nothing in this crowd is going to do to stop me from meeting the Lord Jesus Christ. Others around him might not think it's a good idea, and the crowd around him were wondering, hey, Bartimaeus, what's the big deal here, Bartimaeus? Why are you making such a big commotion here, Bartimaeus? And why do you have to be so loud? Why do you have to be make such a big commotion, a big noise? And why do you have to be a bother here, Bartimaeus? And I want you to know, church family, that I believe in my heart that Bartimaeus, he has a thought. He has something in his mind that had called him to be as determined as anybody else in all the pages of Scripture, and here it is. Jesus Christ were passing through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. And at Jerusalem, church, he was going to be crucified. He was going to be buried. And 3 days later, he was going to rise again from the dead. And then after that, he's going to ascend back into heaven, and his work on earth would be done. And could I say to you that for Bartimaeus, Jesus may not come to Jericho one more time. He may not stop by his city one more time. He may not visit his way one more time. So in Bartimaeus' mind, and he is saying, you know what? I can't wait until next week to get with Jesus. I can't wait until my next time to get to Jesus. I can't count on my next experience to get with Jesus. I don't know if I'll have another chance, another opportunity to meet Jesus. But while I am here and while he is here, I'm going to get to Jesus. I'm going to get to him, and there's nobody's going to stop me. Nobody's going to get in my way, and nobody's going to stand in my way, or nobody's going to hinder me. Because in the mind of Bartimaeus, it is going to be now or never. Yes, Lord, I'm going to go now, or no, never. Because in the mind of Bartimaeus, he needed to get to Jesus now. You know, church, sometimes we've already scheduled in the mind of our offices of our mind when God and I will be on the same page. We've already made that decision. We've already decided when I'm going to get ready to set aside my lifestyle, set aside my wants to get with Jesus. But let me remind you something this evening, that the Lord is not entitled to knock on your door 2 times or 5 times or 10 times. Can I remind you tonight that the gospel is not a fairy tale? The gospel is not a myth. The gospel is not an opinion or some textbook, or is the fact that Jesus died and buried and rose again. That right there, church family, is the gospel. And the joy of the gospel ought to be so wonderful. The gospel ought to be so magnificent. The gospel ought to be so amazing that the very first time you were exposed to it, nothing in you would allow you to resist it or reject it or even turn it down, because the gospel is so good that Jesus has his right to say, you know what, you have heard it one time, you ought to accept it, you ought to love it, you ought to take it, and you ought to accept my free gift of salvation. But his mercy has led us to have multiple times, and multiple folks have been under the sound preaching and resist, and yet God come back and give you another chance. Aren't you glad for another chance? Some of us probably didn't get saved until the 9th time or the 20th time we heard the gospel. But let me tell you something, church. He didn't owe us more than just 1 time. He is a God of providence. He is a God who is supreme. He is the God who is in charge. And let me tell you something this evening, church. We need some men and women and young boys and girls in here who need to get into the mindset of Bartimaeus and say, you know what? I can't wait until next Sunday to get right with God. I can't wait until my next opportunity to get right with God. I can't wait until I get home. I can't wait until later to get right with God. But right here, right now, Jesus is passing through my town. Jesus is walking through my heart. He is at my doorstep. He came into my room. He's visiting my heart right now, and he's questioning my mind. And the question that I want to ask you tonight, is it now or never? What happened to that passion? What happened to that drive? What happened to that edge that we had that, man, I get to serve God. I get to go and visit. And how many times where people would admit with their raised hands during the invitation, and they know in their mind they need to get right with God, and they know in their mind that something is not right, that I need to get something confessed and move on and get right with God. And, you know, maybe they're not sure if they're going to die and go to heaven. I don't know if I've been born again. But then, when the invitation comes, we say, Lord, maybe next time. Lord, maybe not right now. Lord, I'm not ready to let go of my wants. I'm not ready yet. I can't do that right now. I don't feel like getting up, and I don't know if people might say something or judge me if I were to get up or make this decision. Could I say to you, church family, this could be our last hour. This could be our last service. This could be our last chance. You may not live till tomorrow. You may not have another opportunity. And my challenge to you today, church, it is now or never. We all know that a lot has changed in our world today. And we don't know what this world is coming to. We don't know how our lives is going to change, and we don't know how long we'll have our freedom. But there's one thing that I do know, that right here, right now, a fire of revival can be lit up here at Beacon Baptist Church, that somebody will get a hold of God and say, God, I want you to use me. God, I want you to, I want to serve you. I want to seek you. I want to shine for you. I want to sing for you. I want to stand for you. I want to live for you. I want to stir up this world for you. And a church family, it is now or never. Which one would you do? What are you deciding this evening? Don't wait. The time to get right with God is now. For Bartimaeus, It was definitely now. He can't wait for another opportunity. But what about us? What about you this evening? I want to share with you a few thoughts. I won't be long this evening. I'll share with you a few thoughts. First of all, we see, number one, his sad condition. His sad condition. Well, what do you mean by that, Brother Soy? In verse number 46, if you look with me in your Bible, in verse number 46, the Bible says he was blind. He was blind, and those of you that are in this building tonight can testify that being blind is not easy. Right now, I'm wearing contacts, but if I were to take off my contacts, I can't see any of you in here. You're just a big blur to me. I wouldn't be able to read my Bible. I wouldn't be able to see anything. But trying to make it with no vision is difficult. Can you imagine being on the street with no vision, with no sight? And can I remind you today that if you're lost without Jesus, you are blind. Your vision is unsure. Your vision is unclear. And you're trying to look, but you don't know what you're looking at, and you don't know what you're looking for. And not only that he was blind, but also in verse number 46, he was begging. He was blind and he was begging. Begging for what? Trying to get some help. Trying to get some money. Trying to get some attention. You know what I find out today, church family? That people are all over the world, they're begging. And just because you're rich, it doesn't mean that you're not begging. And just because you have a house, it doesn't mean that you're not begging. And just because you have a car, it doesn't mean you're not begging. He was begging because he was lacking. He was begging because he was desperate. He was begging because he was without. He was begging because he was struggling. He was begging because he was missing the stuff that he needed most. And anybody that don't know Jesus is lost. And anybody that don't know Jesus is lacking. And anybody that don't know Jesus is losing. Oh, you may have all the new technology. You may all have the new shoes, the new everything, the new Jordans. But the Bible says in Mark 8:36, for what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his own soul? That's amazing to me. That a lot of people would search, a lot of people work so hard to get in the possessions of this world, but not the things of God. And today, if you came to church and you have an emptiness in your heart and a void in your soul and something missing in your spirit, could I tell you some good news this evening? Hey, Jesus has shown up today. Jesus is here today. We see, first of all, his sad condition. Number two, his sincere cry. In verse number 46, let's take a look at it here. Verse number 47. And when he had heard that it was Jesus, Now, when one of your senses is gone, aren't you glad God has given you another one? We need to stop thinking about what we don't have and start thanking God for what we do have. Oh, Brother Soy, I don't like my job, but you got one. Oh, I don't like my car, but you got one. Oh, I don't have a car, but you got feet. Oh, I don't have a bunch of money, but you got food on the table. Even though that Bartimaeus couldn't see, thank God he can still hear. Amen? He can still hear. And you know what he's hearing? Jesus. 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 And here's Bartimaeus. Is that the name of Jesus I hear? Oh man, Jesus, is that you? Man, I need to get to Jesus. Oh man, I heard a lot about this Jesus, and I know that Jesus can do great things, and I know that Jesus can give me and provide for me for things that I need. And Bartimaeus must be thinking, oh my goodness, Jesus must be around, and I need to get to Jesus. Oh man, I can't see him, but I can definitely hear him coming. I can hear his name, and I want you to understand something. There was a hope in him that day. Bartimaeus is saying in his mind, oh man, I am blind, I am lost. I'm in a bad shape. I'm at the bottom of the barrel. I'm at my last straw. And let me tell you something this evening. If you came here tonight messed up, if you came here lost, if you came here looking for answers, and let me tell you something, before you throw in the towel, before you give up, I want you to listen to the crowd saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus is here. Do you hear him calling tonight? Lord, I'm calling on you. I'm calling for you. And in verse number 47, look what he says here in verse number 47. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. He began to cry out. You know, church, we got a lot of people crying out today. Crying out every Sunday. Crying out for help. Crying out to the world. Crying out to self. Crying out to somebody else. Crying out to the internet. Crying out to the friends. Crying out to the banks. Crying out to everybody and everything else. But somebody need to cry out to Jesus. Jesus, who are you crying to this evening? Also, verse number 46, not only that people were crying, but also, look what it says in verse number 47. He says, have mercy on me. Thank God for his mercies. He says, you are not the one with the problem, Jesus. I am. Have mercy on me. We need some mercy. If Jesus wants to get up, then you need to get down. The Bible says in John 3:30, he must increase, but I must decrease. Have mercy on me. Question for you tonight. When was the last time you asked God for mercy? When was the last time you got broken? When was the last time you got serious? Have mercy on me. Jesus is so wonderful. Have mercy on me. People aren't broken about their sins anymore. When was the last time you've been broken about your sins? It's a big deal, church. Sin is a big deal. Jesus cares about it. We see first his sad condition, his sincere cry, and number three, the Savior's call. The Savior's call. I love this part right here. You know what I like about Bartimaeus? That when the crowd told him to hold his peace, guess what, church? He got a little louder. He got a little louder. He says, quiet down, Bartimaeus. He said, what? I need to get to Jesus. You can't hold me down. You can't make me stay quiet. Don't say his name too loud, Bartimaeus. No, 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 no. I need to get to Jesus. I need to go to Jesus. I need to let Jesus know that I'm here, that I need him to be with me. And you know what I figured out? That this might be our last service that we can praise the Lord. So I want to go out with a bang this evening. You know, it's a shame to be saved and never be excited about it. If you're saved and a happy, saved person get under your skin, we got to examine ourselves. We need to check ourselves. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. And that's what it ought to be. Let's check ourselves. Verse number 49, if you continue, verse number 49, and Jesus stood still. Man, I love that right there. You say, brother, so what's so special about that? What's so special about Jesus standing still? You see, church, Jesus was on the move, was he not? He had some place to go. He was going to Jerusalem. He had somewhere to be at. He was walking along the way. And by the way, church family, that Jesus, he don't just stop when people cry. Jesus, he don't just stop when people make noise. He stopped because the cry that he heard was a real cry. A real cry from Bartimaeus. You know, we hear a lot of cry in churches, but Jesus, keep on walking by. But when your cry is real, he stands still for you. Aren't you glad that the day you cried out to him, he stood still for you? Aren't you glad that he wasn't too busy? Aren't you glad that he wasn't on lunch break? Aren't you glad that he wasn't talking to somebody else? And aren't you glad that he stood still? Church family, there are 8 billion people in this world to be concerned about at the same time, but in his omnipresent allows him to look at them and stand still for you. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. And it continues on in verse number 49. Not only that he stood still, but then they called the blind man. They called the blind man. Nobody wanted Bartimaeus. Nobody cared about Bartimaeus. But no one wanted Bartimaeus like Jesus does. But the one that he wanted the most actually wanted him back. I'm talking to those tonight that feel unwanted today. Hey, Jesus wants you. I'm talking to those that are struggling tonight. Hey, Jesus wants you. I'm talking to those who lost all hope. Hey, Jesus wants you. And I'm talking to those who have nowhere else to go, nowhere else to turn to. Hey, Jesus wants you this evening. The Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, the man is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the lily of the valley. The prophet Isaiah said, he's the Wonderful, he's the Counselor, he's the Prince of Peace, he's the Everlasting Father, he's the Lamb of Glory, he's the Way, the Truth, and the Everlasting Life. He is the Faithful, he is the Rock of my salvation, he is omnipresent, omniscient, omnipresent. He's my salvation, he's my sanctification, he's my justification, he's my reconciliation, he's my glorification. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And church family, I'm not talking about the one who rings the bell when you're thirsty. I'm not talking about the prefix for your cuss words. I'm talking about the Creator of the universe. I'm talking about the Great I Am. I'm not here tonight preaching about dead Muhammad. I'm not here preaching tonight about fat Buddha. I'm not here tonight preaching about the Pope, or preaching about you, or preaching about me, or preaching about the President. I'm preaching about the kings, or I'm preaching about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I'm talking about the one who will change your life. And that man's name is Jesus. I'm talking about Jesus tonight, and he wants you. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad that Jesus wants you? A sinner like me, Jesus wants me. A perfect God, a sinless God, who left glory, who left heaven for me and for you. That God, he wants us. Amazing. Can you hear him calling you today? It's now or never. And by the way, church, this was an individual call. This wasn't a group call. He didn't send out a group text. He specifically dialed Bartimaeus' number. And he told his disciples, he says, go and get him. Go and get him. Because he's the one that is real. I want you to continue with me in verse number 50. Verse number 50, and the Bible says, and he, Bartimaeus, casting away his garments. Casting away his garments. I love this right here. I love this part right here. Bartimaeus, casting away his garments. Bartimaeus, why are you throwing your clothes off, man? What's going on here? Why are you taking off your clothes? You know, in the mind of Bartimaeus, he didn't want nothing. Literally, he did not want nothing to slow him down to get to Jesus. And by the way, Bartimaeus is probably sitting outside all the time in a thick coat. Maybe it's probably cold and maybe wet, and the coat is probably, you know, really heavy for him to stay warm. And in the mind of Bartimaeus, he said, you know, I may be wearing this coat to keep me warm, but keeping me warm is not the major concern right now. My major concern is to get to Jesus, because you know why? Because it is now or never. I didn't want to miss my opportunity. He didn't want to miss his chance to get to Jesus. His sad condition, his sincere cry, his Savior call, and last one here, the supernatural change. I love this right here. Verse number 52, the Bible says, go thy way. Go thy way. You know, if you think about this, church, Bartimaeus, he's never heard those words before. Go thy way. I want you to think with me, how does a blind man go his way? It doesn't work. He can't go his way. He doesn't know how to go his way. But Jesus says, now that you do, now go and do what you're supposed to do. Aren't you glad that the day that he saved you, he sends you on your way? In verse number 52, let's read with me here. In verse number 52, the Bible says, thy faith had made thee whole, and immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Can I tell you something, church? That right here, right now, I don't know where you're at spiritually. And by the way, I don't need to. But he does. And he knows. And the only way for a blind man to hear Jesus' voice, for Jesus to say, come and go your way. That's amazing to me. And Jesus tonight, he is walking. He is walking down the corner of your heart, down your street, down your avenue, down your drive, down your cul-de-sac, down your pew. And he's saying to you. I want you. He wants you. Just come. And when you come, the Bible says, immediately you will receive your sight. And maybe you're in here today and you can't see. You've never received his sight, his free gift of salvation. And I'm here to tell you, church, that you can receive his sight. The Bible says, tells us in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Wherefore, as one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Can you hear the Lord saying to you, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole? If you have never put your faith and trust in Jesus to save you, and the question I want to ask you tonight is it now or never? Yes or no? And those that are saved, the Bible tells us in verse number 52 again, thy faith have made thee whole, and immediately he received his sight, and watch this here, the last statement, and followed Jesus in the way. Those of us that received his sight, question for you, are you following Jesus in the way? Are you following what he has for you? Are you doing what he asked you to do, following Jesus on the day-to-day? The Bible says in James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Tonight, you have heard the word. You have received the word. Question is, will you follow the word? What will you do this evening? And church family, let's be doers and followers of Jesus in the way. Yes, now, or no, never. Let's pray. Father God, we love you. We thank you so much for your love and your goodness. We thank you, Father God, for another opportunity to be here. Father God, I don't know the situations of each person that's in here, Father God. But you do. And there may be some in here right now that has never accepted you as their Savior, have never put their full faith and trust in you. They've been playing the part. They've been pretending. But I pray that tonight they'll get into the mindset of Bartimaeus. You know what? I'm done playing games. I may not have another opportunity, but tonight is now. I'm going to get that right. And there may be some in here who's been saved that they have not been following God. They've not been doing what you have called them to do. I pray that today, tonight, that they'll make that commitment. That they say, you know what? I will follow. I will recommit myself into doing what you want me to do. I will do like Bartimaeus. I will follow Jesus in the way. Father God, I just pray that you bless us. Help us now as we're praying and making decisions for you. And we'll thank you, we'll praise you for all that is done and said here. And we love you in Jesus' name. Pastor.